Shalom,
hello, friends. We will have a lesson on the subject of the absolute zero. We'll read excerpts from the sources. We'll continue with item 22. You can find all our texts on kabbalahmedia.info, and you can watch the lesson on kab.tv, where you can send us questions during the lesson.
We actually now are continuing on the same topic until we start to enter it with a force, with actuality, with sensation, until we will start to see in it our existence, so that we will not leave it, so that we can feel reason and above reason, and how the Creator is operating us, and how we should respond to Him. And this way, accordingly, continue on this path. Because this is actually the beginning of the trail that leads to the purpose of creation. So, we will try to advance. I recommend that you write down questions, and we will try to answer them, all of them. And that way we will advance. I also recommend to read my Twitter. I try to be there according to what we are studying here. So, please, go ahead.
A lesson on the subject of the absolute zero, quote 22 from Shamati 40, what is the measure of faith in the Rav? One should depict to oneself that it is as if he has already been rewarded with whole faith in the Creator, and already feels in his organs that the Creator leads the whole world in the form of the good who does good, meaning that the whole world receives only good from him. Yet, when one looks at oneself, he sees that he is poor and indigent. In addition, when he observes the world, he sees that the entire world is tormented, each according to his degree. One should say about that, as it is written, they have eyes, but they see not. They means that as long as one is in multiple authorities called they do not see the truth. And what are the multiple authorities? As long as one has two desires, even though he believes that the entire world belongs to the Creator, but something also belongs to man. But in truth, one must annul one's authority before the authority of the Creator and say that one does not want to live for oneself. And the only reason that he wants to exist is in order to bring contentment to the Creator. Thus, by this, one annuls his own authority completely. And then, he is in the singular authority, the authority of the Creator. Only then can he see the truth, how the Creator leads the world by the quality of good and doing good. But as long as he is in multiple authorities, meaning when he still has two desires, in both mind and heart, he is unable to see the truth. Instead, he must go above reason and say, they have eyes, but they do not see the truth.
How
do we arrange ourselves in order to say to them, which is to our thoughts and desires, that they depend on our desire, on our ego? How do we establish precisely the picture in our mind and emotion that belongs to our ego? And how do we try to look at the world above our mind and emotion? and then how should we talk about it? Please, go ahead. Is it clear what I said? Yeah? Okay, so then go ahead.
The first stage is that we need to look at each other and to turn to the ten.
Indeed, yes, if we turn to the ten and we start to have a continuous connection between us along with the sources and the lesson throughout the day, without a doubt we will advance correctly.
We need to accept everything the Creator gives us with love, because it all comes from Him. And we need to support each other in that, so that every friend has the strength to accept everything that the Creator sends lovingly.
So long as the person is under the control of his will to receive all kinds of authorities, he cannot identify that the Creator is in control. One has to enter under the singular authority, meaning that through the ten, you have to focus on Him.
I don't know. All the work that's above the emotion, above the mind, we need the reforming light for that. What we can do is to help each other build up that slack, build up the prayer for that, to help every friend build a kli, a true lack for the light, to give us the power to look at the world from above, something like that.
Yes, only with the help of the friends is it possible to rise above the personal point of view. We need to bring it in and establish it in more and more situations, not to allow it to slip away, because the moment that it goes away, the world changes back to an egoistic perception.
It's only with the help of the friends. The ten is like an aid against oneself, against the inclination that always gives us sensations and observations of the way I feel. But with the ten, we have the power to be above that, and it can suffer.
Yes, the only way to draw the light is to try to give this attitude to the friends, in some way to explain to them that the ego is managing everything, but we want to look beyond the ego, simply to make a work plan and try to stick to it each and every moment. How do I awaken the ten? How do we awaken each other? And accordingly, the person himself awakens.
Even when we try to think about the One, about the Creator, the single Creator, each person is in his own imagination. And the One, we can actually only find between us. It's not in the friends, in each one of us. It's not in this assembly of bodies. But rather, it's the One that we assemble, that we establish here, and only here it can be formed. All the rest of the ones, it's a lie. It's not one. I have many of them. It's imagination. It's my own idol worship.
It brings me back again to the picture yesterday when we did establish a new mind and emotion, because we were all aimed towards the morning lesson, following Rav's guidance, following the sources, and we kind of transcended the existing state and we wanted to adhere to that point, which is somewhere beyond. And again, if there is such an atmosphere, such an environment that a person operates in and is directed towards it, then something new can be built.
Yes, I also want to reinforce Nadi's point. It's the same feeling. The more we connect together around the sources and around Av's guidance and try to be an amplifier, simply an amplifier, not to lose out and not to miss anything of that guidance, but to implement it, then we reach a state which is above each and every one.
Rav, how can we determine, after we determine that the world is entirely bad, How can we decide that what we see is not actually the truth? Rather, we see it out of our ego. We rise above that, and we are adhere to the good who does good. So, after that, how can we open up our emotions, our mind and heart, and see the world as bad, and nevertheless to be above this bad in the good who does good, and arrange ourselves in such a way that we open up more, or we open up less, the evil in the world, but the most important is to always remain adhered to the good who does good, that they have eyes but see not, they have ears but hear not, and whatever we feel as bad, all in all, it is inside of our egoistic vessels. So how can we truly always measure ourselves? And how can I say it? Establish ourselves maybe like that, like
it's
like a floater. Floated, we hold it in a way that we can open up the bed more and more and remain with the good who does good, like a buoy. And we measure ourselves this way, that even though the bed is revealed, we amplify the good who does good, and that way each time we find ourselves as being above, well, in what's called faith, above reason, because the reason is revealed more and more as bad. Malchut of Ein Sof is revealed more and more, as it says that towards the end of correction, insolence will be at its peak, and we nevertheless are on the buoy, and adhered to the good, adhered to the upper one. And this way, throughout the entire day, all the time, we want to live this way in our life. And of course, here it's about strengthening in the group and all the means that we have, but this actually is the point that we are living on this buoy, on this point of balance between the two worlds. This is where we are on that. Later on we will find there the middle point. How do we increase the bad or not? How do we awaken the darkness, invite the light? But for the time being, right now, how can we always float on top of that bed with adhesion to the good? Let's go. How do we do it in practice, over time, throughout the day? Connection in the group. How do I turn to the friend? How do I hold him? How does he hold me throughout the day? Go ahead.
To float over that evil means that we don't want that. We don't want that evil to be cancelled. We get the black colors that our body paints on what the Creator gives us, but we treat that as an aid against oneself. With that, we want to grow even stronger in our collective lack, our collective support. And then we see how it all comes for our benefit, so that we can grow stronger in the avut between us.
We have externality and internality. We can take the example from yesterday. I'm talking about the external form that we had, this simple, very practical task.
נוגעת ללב, נראה לי.
The heart, I feel that every hour we recorded some excerpt related to this topic that we're studying and scrutinizing. And as Daniel said before, it creates a certain atmosphere, a certain change in the feeling of each friend during the day. It holds the friends in that feeling of the morning lesson.
We need to maintain the connection. The connection that we keep needs to be goal-oriented, very, very energetic, meaning it has to really bring up excitement and inspiration, and not to make each other fall asleep. If we have a connection, we want it to awaken us.
This buoy that we're holding on to is the greatness of the Creator, above all of these waves. How do we turn to the friends? It's a game by which we turn to the friends and give them what we actually need by ourselves, each one of us.
We need to constantly reignite the friends, reawaken them, whether from the heart or by acting, just do it.
Yes, there are other pieces of advice. It has to come from our mutual commitment to each other. In truth, maybe because of our mutual commitment to the Creator, that all that we want is to awaken the friends to adhesion with Him and ask of Him to give us the strength to each one of us to awaken the friends. And this is the game. Always, whether it is in the heart or not in the heart, it doesn't matter. So long as we give the friends the connection with the Creator as much as possible. And this process that Rav described apparently would work by itself once we do it.
Also, we need to be aware of the fact that the evil that's revealed, we're immersed in it. It's like the water where we don't float over it, we sink there. And it's all imaginary. It's an imaginary evil, although to us it seems to be the truth. It appears to us to be the truth, but the singular truth that we have to be aware of is that we can help each other, save each other, bring each other out of this bad imagination to the truth. But again, in helping each other, we have to be aware of the fact that we bring each other out of concealment. So it's not, hey, bro, call me. It's much more than that. It's we need to consciously take this take on this concealment, this sorcery, so to speak.
The important understanding we need to have is that we are floating together. By yourself, each one of us will sink. But if we understand that we are all together around this buoy and we all floating together, we'll realize that each one of us has the responsibility and commitment towards the ten, then we will succeed. Then we will receive all the evil that is revealed together.
Excerpt 23 from Abash, the article, What is the herdsman of Abraham's cattle and the herdsman of Lot's cattle in the work? Specifically through faith above reason, meaning even if one feels darkness on this path, and even though he understands that if Malchut had illuminated openly and not in concealment, and the body would feel the greatness of the Creator, it would be certainly easier for him to move further and be rewarded with always being in a state of work, and he would have no descent. Nonetheless, he chooses to go above reason. This is called the herdsman of Abraham's cattle, meaning that even though it does not shine for him, he is still with all his might as though everything illuminated for him openly. Again, specifically through faith above reason, meaning even if he feels darkness on this path, and even though he understands that if Malchut had illuminated openly and not in concealment, and the body would feel the greatness of the Creator, it would certainly be easier for him to move further and be rewarded with always being in a state of work, and he would have no descents. Nonetheless, he chooses to go above reason, meaning that even though it does not shine for him, he is still with all his might, as though everything illuminated for him openly.
How do we receive such forces? To go in a way that everything is darkness, I don't understand, I don't feel, there's no future, and there is no seeing sensation that is in anything, in mind or heart, and how, nevertheless, we go as if everything is revealed. Go ahead. This is called that we awaken towards the upper force. We don't want to rely on what we usually receive in our vessels. We shift to a higher degree. So, how do we not demand any corporeal fulfillment? The kind that we're used to, not in our mind or in our heart, and how do we want to be only in the force of faith? We don't know what it is, but we demand the power to hold ourselves in states that are absolute darkness, as if it were light. How can we get closer to such a state, locate it somehow, demand it? What are we lacking in order to be in an absolutely dark state in mind and heart, as though these are full and supply us with understanding and feeling and confidence and joy? Go ahead.
Yeah, so to start to somehow feel, what the that situation described, it's not simple, but it feels to me that these powers always come from the Creator through prayer, and what holds us is the friends, and what gives us the ability to raise any prayer, it's from the friends, for the friends. Perhaps you can add.
Yes, states in which there is no support from the mind. The Creator establishes such a state where a person feels that he has no future and everything is dark. But in a wondrous manner, specifically, when we try to act in such a state towards the friends with the greatness of the Creator, something happens. We awaken something in the general system that somehow gives us some mitigation, but not a mitigation in the will to receive. Rather, we truly succeed in rising above it and to truly appreciate His greatness. This is why it's very important that we will persist as much as possible in His game, acting towards each other.
Exactly, this game of envy, because this is work against nature. That nature always looks for some earthly fulfillment, and we need to remember that the Creator is sending us this disposition. And Mark yesterday described this spiritual commando, so it's not some corporeal heroism. It's not the same values of that we have in this world.
We always demand the reforming light. We always hold each other up above. We always want to already reach equivalence of form with the Creator. And this is how we attain the darkness. This is the Creator's part in this equation. He will give us, He will help us to achieve this complete darkness, to achieve the feeling that is farthest from the Creator, so that we will have what to pray over.
Yes, we learn to separate the reality of the created being, the reality of the Creator, all these contrast, all those forces in contrast that work in reality, so we can discern our advancement better and understand where we come from, where we're going, where you have the beginning, middle, and end, have something in our vessels, otherwise it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. It
seems to me that we, with Rav's help, are simply building between us a new mind and heart, common one, where it's possible to be happy and full and satisfied. And this is above the animate level, where the mind and heart are not so happy with whatever is going on.
The question is, what do I lack in order to awaken the 10 constantly, regardless of how I feel, my own state, to always make sure that they have this general awakening? And I feel that what's missing is just dedication, some covenant between us. I'll feel like when I return from work, regardless of how I feel, I go in with a smile so that the children won't see anything negative. I want to project something positive. And this is an obligation that comes from nature, so we need to also formulate such an obligation, an artificial one, which will gradually turn into something real.
Gershon, I don't think that's enough. I think that we need more than making some agreement to be selling ourselves to slavery, to servitude. We have to bow down on our knees with a demand without the demand from the Creator. There's no way He won't help. The other way around, the Creator is busy with hiding. He has a plan. He is always orchestrating concealment. So if you want to somehow get out of this, you have to go down on your knees and enslave yourself. And here we need to establish between us a system of enslavement, but where each one annuls himself.
Love. What prayer can we compose here? What request to the Creator so as to always float above the darkness and be in contact with the light, despite of the darkness, in our minds and hearts, and to understand that it all comes from the inversion of form that we have in respect to the Creator's qualities. How do we try to float above the darkness and to adhere to the light? And we don't disregard the darkness, because upon it we build ourselves. What do we pray for, all of us together?
First of all, I truly ask that we will help each other build the right prayer. When I speak, you will support me. When you speak, I will support you, so that we will truly enter the right prayer. It's mostly in thinking about each other that I will pray for you, that we will hold on to this point, the connection between us, so that the friends will have the power to hold on to this point when we are floating in that point of absolute zero. In the beginning, it has to be about you, that you will have the strength, that I will be connected with you.
We pray not to want anything more than the zero, the point of zero that we talked about, and to always remain with the request for adhesion, for the power to come that can lift us up like that buoy above the sensation of darkness.
Yes, and I would also add to that, I would add to the prayer that this is for my friends, instead of me always being preoccupied with what I feel. I want to be preoccupied with how do I care that the friends will be above these states.
With every wave that comes from the Creator, will be glad with His gladness, and will see how He is glad when He sends us another opportunity to come closer.
That we will have the strength to enjoy the connection with the Creator, to tie everything to the singular authority.
To remember that we're floating together. It's not each one alone on some float, but rather it's a raft of some sort where we all depend on each other. And that's what we have to hold on to throughout the day, to always look for that grip on the 10.
We're
asking for each other that each friend will have a burning point, a desire, and a yearning, a prayer for connection, to raise divinity from the dust, you might say.
Excerpt 24 from Abash. What does it mean that one should bear a son and a daughter in the work? The work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That is, one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I am willing to work with all my might, as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work, and I am willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward, and then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes upon himself to work even when he is placed right in the earth, since it is impossible to be lower than the earth.
That is, I don't take into account what I feel, what I understand from the present, from the future. This all, as if, does not belong to him. Only one thing belongs to him. How much he, above himself, outside of himself, will be able to bestow. From here, it's the beginning of the spiritual gap or realm, the spiritual world. So, again,
the work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That is, one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work, and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I am willing to work with all my might, as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work, and I am willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward, and then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes it upon himself to work even when he is placed right in the ground, since it is impossible to be lower than the ground.
With these three excerpts we read, what would you like to ask? Yes, Asaf.
Amatzof ze Asiria.
This buoy, is it the 10?
The buoy is the 10. Yes.
In order to hold on to that buoy, what are the actions that I need to take? Do I build the buoy?
You build a buoy by annulling towards the 10.
When I'm in the water, there, in that state, I need to just hold on to something.
You hold on to the fact that you're willing to work for them, for their benefit and not for your own benefit. Then you float. Otherwise, you drown. You drown. You drown in the water.
Yes, and so the 10 is always, it's always the 9 points that have connection to the divine, good and benevolent.
But you accept them as floating and you need them.
I join them as one point.
With your support. You cannot hold on to them so that they will not allow you to sink. Rather, by you supporting them, you also float.
If I add my part to that float, so to speak, then it's...
If you annul towards the buoy, it's truly zero, as Rabash writes. But truly zero. Zero, not playing all kinds of games. Anyone else?
No, לפניך, זה לא עובד?
The one before you, isn't it working? I'm telling you, Gershon.
I thought...
You forgot your own name, I see.
I wanted to ask, how can we make this... It's possible to make this state more vivid, what you described. How do we form an obligation so that regardless of what I feel in my will, in my desire, I'm 100% committed to awaken the ten?
We continue as much as possible until the reforming light will build inside of us such states. Nevertheless, each and every state comes as a result of the light. However, I see and feel the reforming light that, in the end, in general, is working on the group, not only on this, but when I was in South America, in North America, I felt that during those world congresses, you are ready to come closer to this. This is why I opened up this topic. We are ready to begin to acquire the first spiritual degree called Faith Above Reason. That is adhesion with the Creator, who is that is stronger than adhesion to our ego through the ten.
That
in the ten,
it's
also expressed. There we can see both our ego and also annulment of it, and also adhesion with the Creator. It's all within the ten, that we can see, identify, detect, and portray it. Anyone else? Also, those people who don't even feel that they understand what we're talking about, they have no response to what we're talking about. It is still without any flavor, without any sensation, a little bit good or a little bit bad, nothing is moving inside, nothing, it doesn't matter. Just keep going and keep going, because the light is working, and it, in the end, will bring us to the right state. We need that. The moment that we truly acquire this state of faith above reason, meaning 2 degrees, the spiritual one on top of the corporeal one, that's it. All the rest of the ladder is about the amplification of these forces, an addition of discernments, but that's already okay, you're there. The most important, as he writes, what does he write? That the most important is the entrance.
The main point of heaviness in the work of the Lord is the first grip, the first commandment.
In the article, one commandment. So this is where we are now standing. It is a very special situation, a very important one, especially that many people are reaching it. You might say that everyone is coming there in practice, even those who sit somewhere by themselves and they don't know what exactly we're talking about, they nevertheless belong to this movement, to the contact with the first spiritual degree. Yes.
We read that one sees evil in the world, he shuts his eyes, and he adheres to that point meaning that everything comes from the Creator. And then you asked, or you said, that then he wants to open his eyes again to collect some more evil in order to cover it with some more faith.
Well, we're not still jumping up high like you. However, if evil is revealed, then we need to try to rise above it, above all of these bad discernments, and say they have eyes but see not, they have ears but hear not. What does that mean? That it is the Creator who is doing it to us on purpose, in order for us to rise above it. This is how we build the spiritual degree, that it's always faith above reason. That is, I disconnect from my logic, from my mind and my heart, my sensation, and I want to build here a new attitude. And the Creator helps me in that. There, this is why it says, I created evil inclination. That I, in this desire that for some reason is called evil because it's opposite to the Creator, he helps me to be in it and against it to adhere to the Creator. It is help made against him. And this way I constantly try to do it. Therefore, I do not disregard my will to receive. I, with the right attitude, not with disregard, I rise above it and I want to adhere to the upper force, the good who does good. And then the will to receive precisely in all of the manners in it will actually give me a portrayal of the Creator, because the Creator has no depiction, and the will to receive of mine in all of the different manners that will be revealed, and it has many of them. By that, I will be able to detect all of the qualities, the discernments that I will call godliness. Because without that, I have no depiction of godliness, only out of the bed, as a copy, a projection. That's it? Yeah? Okay.
My annulment in the ten, is that my support of them? Support
yes.
for them?
When I first of all annulled toward the ten, this is the first stage.
That's the meaning of supporting the ten? To annul before them?
Let's say that it also means to support. But first of all, in order to belong, in order to ascribe myself to the ten, I first of all, and now, this means that for sure I'm included in them. And even though it seems to me that I'm big, like Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, however, if I annul before them, then this is truly the first spiritual action, because the ten is always higher than me. I could be the greatest one, but if I have a ten next to me, it is higher than me. So to annul before it is the first spiritual step that I can take. After that, after I annul, I can activate above my annulment all kinds of additional actions inside of the ten by participating. Well, by participating.
How do you annul before them like an absolute zero, without any games, like you said?
I try to detect what is it that they want, and with each and everything, with all of my power, I use myself in order to realize whatever they want. Like that.
More general question. What is the meaning of having a group on the first spiritual degree?
Oh, that would be something truly great. This means that you already have a means by which to connect with the Creator. If you're by yourself, through what will you connect with Him? Through what will you annul? Through what will you begin to develop your senses already on a spiritual degree? Whatever you see as your evil, the bad, the darkness, And you want to adhere to the light, to the point of light that is above it. How can you have a grip on that light? You grip it in the ten that you annul before it, as Malchut annuls before the first nine, as the lower one annuls before Malchut of the upper one, which is dark. And afterwards, you try all the time with all of your force, as much as you're able to support them. That is, to shift to the ten, to transform your qualities from reception to bestow, to carry out their desire, which is called the first nine, with your forces that are called Malchut. This is how you begin to be ascribed, to belong to a higher degree, a spiritual one. It is all by expanding faith above reason. Yes, David?
If annulment is the first step, you yourself said that we have that state of insolence swelling up. I know that I'll get up tomorrow, I'll think completely differently than now. I won't be able to annul because I won't see anyone.
So already today I'm making a preparation for it. I cannot have a preparation in me because for sure I will change. So how can I build in me some kind of a mechanism, a safety belt against that insolence that will rise in me? Rather, I tie it to the group. And if today I invest as much as possible in the group, even if they don't know about it, and I don't even talk to them about it, even though we can also talk about it. However, if I invest in them as much as possible, more and more, I elevate them, I serve them, I annul myself before them, even if there's no need for it seemingly right now, I'm doing it for the future. Just like you have some fund where you're collecting money or some energy.
And this cheats this hate?
Not to deceit it. You're actually building it. It's nothing that you're cheating here. You're taking your forces and investing them in the society. The society is like a buffer. It's like a storehouse. It's the first nine that later on would support the Malchut. Investing in the friends is something necessary for advancement. This is called arvut, that later on, accordingly, they can relate to me as a friend and save me from imprisonment.
Even if they don't know that I invest, right? As you.
Even if they don't know, it doesn't matter. Later on, they will feel that they must do it. I don't have to show it to them or even talk to them about it, even though that is also permitted. Here, the work with the group becomes the main means, because in the society the creator is. But the work is with respect to the society. You see in it the force of the creator, the first nine, and this is how you work. It's as if you adhere to them, so then you have more forces, and you receive an addition of ego, then you move away from them. So then they work, and they bring you back to them. It's like a piston. Again, you adhere to them with the calculation, with that amount that you invested before. The ego comes, you move away from them, and again you invest, and this is how you keep working, just like a piston.
And if you didn't invest in them, you can just fly away.
Yes, then it's possible that the Creator will awaken them and they will invest in you. Even though you have no connection to them. Yes, but that's already, it's not that you invited, it's not your work. Yes?
No,
Hanoch. How do we invest when there is no physical or virtual contact?
I didn't understand. How?
The
where is there such a person?
No, me, for example, okay?
What, you don't have any physical contact with him?
No, I have physical contact, but it's not all day. And there's also virtual contact, but it's not all day.
You don't need it to be. Abash would travel to work on the Hebron Road for weeks at a time.
So when you're on the Hebron Road, how do you invest in them?
It doesn't matter where you are. You have a group, and in any case, you're connected to it.
When I want to invest, when I want to annul, when I want to give something extra, and I'm on that road, what do I do?
You work with them in your mind and heart.
What does that mean?
That you always want to be attached to them, to elevate them, to care for them, despite the fact that you're not physically there. Even if you are physically with them, the work isn't, it's not physical work. What physicality is there? Yesterday you were here in Yeshivat Chavrim, the Assembly of Friends, and also we had thousands and thousands, I don't know how many, behind their screens all over the world. So, are they not connected with you?
They were, because there was some kind of an interaction that included everyone.
There's always interaction, because we are all Adam HaRishon.
Great, so how do I connect with this interaction?
That depends on you. This depends on you. You want to be connected to your tent, to your group, regardless of where you are.
How?
Inner effort.
What is this effort? Can you take me and lead me just like a child that you explain to him, go here, do that? What is this effort? Okay, I try to get hold of something. I remember the creator, there's none of it besides him. Now I realize that I have to annul more towards the 10. I need to give something extra. What do I do at that moment?
You said the word to annul. When you understand that you need to be an embryo within them.
But
that's it. Try to enter that feeling. You are an embryo within them. You depend on them entirely. And, well,
so I understand, even with my mind, that I need to do it, and I try to develop some emotion in that direction. But practically, this just goes on for a split second. And
why? Why a split second? You always and always want to remain in that. Otherwise, it'll be an abortion. I have to constantly develop the sensation that I'm in them. For the time being, I'm an embryo, but later I'll have more and more connections.
I'm simply trying to find if there is some way, maybe there isn't, without me, for example, annoying them at that moment. Or
you don't need to speak with them. They don't need to even hear about you.
Great.
It's each one towards the group, in respect to the group. But sometimes you get together once a week, you see each other one time a week even. That's how it was with the Abash. And then you talk, perhaps you don't even speak, you just read an article, and that's it. And this also suffices. Meaning, if the work is done within the person, he doesn't need anything else. Everything else, the support of the group, his own attitude, the connection, all of that he does within himself. Yes, Levovich.
Is this work, the determination of the two levels, is that always the beginning of our inner work?
Yes.
Even if it's annulment, the prayer of the many,
doesn't matter. You have two degrees, two floors, faith and belief, reason and faith above reason. What I see within my ego and what I depict to myself that is above that, with the Creator and spirituality.
So the work of the friends always comes after determining there is none else besides him.
Without that, there is no work.
Another small question from the opposite side of that. After determining there is none else besides him, good who does good with the two levels, there has to come work with the friends or not always, not necessarily?
Of course. Where will you implement it? Actualize it. You need to think about how the way you see the world, you see it entirely from your ego. So how can you rise above your ego and to adhere to the Creator who's above this? How can you, at that point where you adhere to Him, you say that you want to just break into His world, into Him, and not to be immersed in this world, in your ego? Yes? And when you want to burst into Him, there you begin to understand that without you organizing the group, you have no chance of getting higher, transcending. The Creator is allowing you, giving you a chance to be in contact with Him to a point. But more than that one instance of contact, for that you need to build a mechanism, a ten, havaya, similar to the structure of the upper world that is above your ego. So below you have your ego, everything is dark, black. Above you have the Creator's will to bestow, which is rounded, so to speak, and there is contact between them. The Creator gave you the opportunity, the ability to transition from this world to the upper world, but you build the upper world within the ten. And you have no chance or any right or any ability, any merit. It's impossible to build the spiritual world if it's not through Havaya. But you build it within the connection with the others. And it's all prepared for us, in us. We just need to organize these things, put them in order, and to actualize them. Alright? Well. So, we have a question. Kiev.
Hello,
dear Rav. We're now talking about the fact that these two levels exist in parallel. When I make an effort above myself to rise above the darkness, to be included in the friends, in a prayer, in an effort, then I seemingly enter the second floor, and the first level disappears. It doesn't exist right now. So what does it mean that I live in these two levels in parallel? Do I look at them out of that inclination, but later on I'm going to fall, or do I add some connection with the friends? What does it mean to live in parallel on both levels?
I need to always see myself as present in that point that ties together the two worlds. Within reason, that's the lower world, and above reason, that's the upper world, between Malchut and Bina, between knowing and believing in faith. And here, later, perhaps it is possible to actually start, if not today, then tomorrow or the day after. How do we enlarge or make this the upper world greater than the lower one? Either it is the Creator who does it, or it's us who do it. And here, it's a matter of me awakening the dawn. I'm searching for what I lost, or the Creator does it by awakening the darkness Himself. The day turns into night, and so on. Or yours is the day, and yours is also the night, and so on. That's the work. It's impossible for the upper world to be greater than the lower world. We always build one atop the other. Also in respect to the Parzuf, that's always how we build it. Later it'll take on spiritual forms, the spiritual forms that we learn about with you. The Parzuf, or Shtoch Sof, all those works. But for the time being, I don't want to mix all these things together. Because I want this image we have to be as emotional as possible, rather than schematic. Later on, we'll move on to these schematics, and they will show us exactly the emotional state that's in each one. All right?
No.
Yes.
What does it mean to build the ten? How do you feel a connection with the Creator specifically through the ten?
I don't know. I only know that I have a ten. I have one. I have there are 10 people or 8. Doesn't matter. It's called a ten. And I will need to carry out all sorts of actions with them, in them, to affect my spirituality. That's it. Something, I'll even know that thanks to the meal, the gathering of friends, assembly of friends, going out together, studying together, through various actions of the sort, I affect my spirituality. I'll even feel later on how each and every action is precisely aimed towards affecting change in my spirituality.
What actions exactly influence my spirituality?
First of all, I make a zero of myself. So by that, I influence my spirituality. And now, the more I want to add to them above the zero, by that, I also influence my spirituality, and so on, always. Now, when I prepare with these actions, preparatory actions, lowering myself, increasing them, magnifying them, it still has no relation to the Creator. These are preparatory actions. Now, when I want to discover the Creator in them, now, discovering, it's not about discovering, it's in order to bestow to Him. So, I bestow to them, and I try to reach the love of the Lord through the love of people. That's the only way. And here, we begin to truly arrive at the implementation of the main principles of the Torah, and of reality.
How? After I made zero of myself, I start to feel them, what they need, or through them, or...
I don't know. I feel... I don't demand these things. I only want to do what I must give, I must bestow, I must support, and not to feel or understand.
So what do I have to give, to bestow, to how to support them so that it would be purposeful?
Whatever I think will help them. The greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the society, the connection between all of them, and so on. Here we need to sort and catalog our desires and thoughts and see if they're egoistic or not. What do I need to feel here? What do I need to understand here? Nothing. To feel nothing and to understand nothing. Almata.
Доброе утро. Спасибо, Рав, что...
Good morning, and thank you, Rav, for allowing me to ask. There's a question here. The 10 is like a gift, and I get this gift without investing any effort. I simply received it as a gift, and there was no spiritual work on my behalf here. And the more I come closer to the friends in the group, it turns out that more and more the evil inclination is revealed in me.
Mm-hmm.
So, how is joy manifested, and how can I use it, how can I find it, how can I not lose that gift that I received from the Creator?
Many years pass until a person begins to understand that the ten is actually the spiritual construction, spiritual formation. It's not corporeal. And this formation doesn't come to him as some kind of burden, some kind of fine, something that obligates him, compels him. Rather, this is a life-saving flow. More precisely, it's the system for the revelation of the Creator. Here, he's connected to 10 bodies, but he has no real connection with them. But gradually, with the help of the reforming light, he begins to feel in them. He begins to feel an inner connection with them. And he begins to feel that in various manners of connection with them, he receives discernments related to the revelation of the Creator. The Creator is revealed between them, how they relate to each other, how they bestow upon each other, influence each other. There are new inclinations here, new discernments that it's specifically in them, in those new discernments, all in all, this network is revealed suddenly, where he begins to detect or identify the ability to sense the upper force, not the network itself. That's not the upper force. The network is woven, how to put it? It's woven together when this net is woven from their qualities through the light, but that's how they connected together. And so, because of the qualities of this net, this network that was revealed between them, according to the qualities of the network, they begin to discover the Creator. Meaning, the network isn't the Creator, and the qualities in that network, they are qualities of bestowal, of love, and that all belongs to them, to the ten. But opposite that comes the upper light, or correspondingly comes the upper light, and they can then detect it. Then the ten becomes from a burden, from just 10 bodies, it becomes something that he ascribes to the connection between them. And this connection is a living thing. It's alive, and it, this network, gives them the ability to grasp the Creator, to change the relationships between them gradually and in various ways, and so they begin to discover him. The Creator is grasped in Havaya, and so the group becomes the soul, the vessel of the soul. For the time being, I can't put it in other words. I can't describe it. My Hebrew, perhaps, was deliberately made such. All right, but you get it. Yes, Itzik.
I'm impressed that it's as if we need to yearn to shift the relations between us more, I would say, to a virtual form, not to see physical qualities or...
No, physical qualities, how is that important?
But rather to actually move away from that. Maybe this is what is disturbing us, and try to get more... hold on to or build...
I also don't know what it means to move away if I'm still in that. The more I work, in the connection between us, on forgetting myself within the society, to immerse myself in the society. Gradually it works.
Yes, but the images of the friends that I need to depict to myself.
What images? What characters? You have... Every friend is in complete bestowal, investment.
That's true.
So all the other qualities I see in him, that's my own projection, the projection of myself.
I'm continuing Hanok's question, who asked what to do. I don't see them around me all day. I'm not in contact with them. But I still want to be in a connection with them.
You all have a problem here. You are all of you not bestowing through thought enough. You're belittling the power of thought. You're not bestowing, not influencing through thought each one towards the friends in the ten. You're not imparting the desire to connect, to reveal the Creator in order to bring Him contentment. You don't have this inclination, this motion from each one towards that, towards the building of that network in which we establish the Creator and give Him contentment. That has to happen. It has to be also in words, but the main thing is through thought. You're on a stage where it must be implemented, and it must be, it's absolutely urgent. It's the necessity of each one. It's the spiritual sustenance of each and every one. It's not how much I receive, but how much I give to the society. That's my spiritual sustenance. In corporeality, physical sustenance is the extent to which I receive. In spirituality, spiritual sustenance is the extent to which I give. All right?
No.
Well, how did the assembly of friends seem to you yesterday?
I'm very critical towards...
Critical?
Yeah.
But it was different than other assemblies, or wasn't it?
It was essentially different from other yeshivot chaverim.
And yet,
I think that more opening of the hearts was possible, maybe more something that unites the friends even more.
Well, the opening of the hearts, that depends on the extent to which our friends are already opened up to that topic. Perhaps it's a new topic of study, or perhaps it's new to some and not to others. I'm not going into these particularities, but our study of faith and of reason and faith about reason, we never studied it that way before. And so it may be that they are not yet prepared and willing to implement it through speech or other means.
Along with that, I felt, you know, I received a lot of feedbacks from many friends, from our group and from World Clean, that there was actually a leap. And
yes, I also think the same.
About the question now.
Yes.
It's precisely the same topic, pretty much, about the word as if. In the last quote also, he wrote, as if one has a revelation of the Creator. And before that also, as if we have the greatness of the goal.
Because we always work that way.
And I feel about myself also that even when you said make an effort in your thought, my ego exactly says, if I would have the greatness of the goal, I'd be able to hold on to that.
No, you'll never have it.
That's right. So how do we make that as if?
Because you're not working in your ego, you have nothing to work with, and that's why you're working as if.
Exactly, it's very nice what you're saying, but still, how do we make that as if rule us, and it would be our freedom?
As if. There's nothing to add. Trust me that it works. It works. You know, through what? Via the reforming light, you're forgetting this principle. How to put it? You have something that works, that operates, along with your efforts and situations and everything that you do, this way, that way. The main thing is that you invoke the light and it does the work. It's called the Lord will finish for me.
I didn't understand what is the punch here.
You do everything that you see that you must do according to the recommendations of the Kabbalists and the Rav. That's it. The rest, the light will add. It will change nature, not you. That's how it'll happen. Moshe wanted something.
I want to understand, when you ask a question, how was it in Yeshivat Chaverim? How does it work, coincide? I mean, the answer should coincide with what we are studying about reason without any relation to the beastly sensation. So what should the answer be?
I don't know, but after a person does something, he needs to form a calculation. That's why I'm asking. I'm asking not in order to get an answer. I'm asking, if you just did it and went out and forgot about it, do you have some summary, something?
Yeah, I would like to understand what a person was supposed to feel, what he feels. It's clear, I know what I felt, but...
It's better that you don't tell.
Yeah, but this is why I'm asking. It seems to be a contradiction. We are studying about above reason, so what's here that...
It doesn't matter above reason, beside reason, below reason. There has to be some result. Why not?
So what is the desirable outcome? What should it be?
That's what I'm asking. What is the outcome?
It says that a person should feel joy. The question is, in what kli should I feel joy? If you don't yet have a vessel of bestowal, you have a vessel of reception. How can there be joy in the vessel of reception?
I was happy because I felt that all in all, you all understand that you're in some new state. You're not digesting it yet, really. You have no grasp on it, but you feel that there's something new. It's something new, something that's advancing, something that we have to enter. There's a lot of materials about this given to us by the Kabbalists. It's a very special degree above reason. Spiritual one that we're going to acquire and obtain. And you agree that we have to move in that direction because without that we'll remain in corporeality. And all of our engagement here, this will become just a kind of a course for spirituality. Just a... In any way, if we're drawn after all the things that the Kabbalists write to us, and we'll see how much more there is in the text we already read before, you'll see how much lies in those texts. And that... what ultimately brings us to the ladder, the spiritual ladder. Yesterday, I felt that people are in some kind of connection with one another. They're willing. There's an understanding that there's something new here that we didn't have before. It wasn't there before. Even if a person was here for 12, 15 years, he didn't feel that he is entering the degree of faith above reason. He spoke of it, he heard of it, of course he read a lot about it, but how do you attain that state that he didn't know? And now he's beginning to implement it. Alright, yes, Moti.
Why the work and the actions that we do come at the expense of working the thoughts? Why is there such an inclination?
No, it's all in thought. Where isn't it?
We perform actions, and when we perform many actions, it comes at the expense of thinking. But it says everything should be clarified by the thought.
Yes, but why is it on account of the thought? Is it against? Does it?
You now mentioned that the most important work is in the thought, to hold the 10 in the second floor level, and all kinds of other thoughts that you guide us to do. But it doesn't always happen, because we do many external actions, and
because our thought isn't adapted, isn't compatible with the thought of creation. Our thoughts need to be tied to the actions which are in order to bestow, and they're not like that. That's why everything is clarified in thought. What thought? Above the masach, you have the tzimtzum, masach, or chazer, a calculation, and then everything is clarified in the toch of the Parzuf.
So on our degree, is there work in thought?
Yes.
What is it?
To be above reason, meaning to develop thought which is above reason. No, you won't lack. You'll lack for nothing. Another day and another day, you'll see how you're forming yourselves more and more. You bring yourselves more and more towards that. All right, so what do we do now? Arvut. Fine, let it be Arvut. We have a holiday coming up, and we can't disregard that.
We'll move on to the next part of the lesson, and before that, we'll sing together.
קמת לשאול מה טעם בחיים, את האמת למצוא, איך אנחנו כחולמים, והלב שלך נמצא לקצה, רוצה לדעת למה באת לעולם הזה, רוצה לדעת למה באת לעולם הזה, סימן שאתה נוגע בנשמה שלך, נוגע נוגע בנשמה שלך, זהו מוות, תגלה עד כמה היא יפה, להשיג אותה בחיים, מחכה רק בשבילך, נוגע, נוגע בנשמה שלך, נוגע, נוגע בנשמה שלך, זהו מוות, תגלה עד כמה היא יפה, להשיג אותה בחיים, מחכה רק בשבילך. אם העולם שלך נמצא בשקיעה, ברוח על פניך מלטפת מגיעה, אבל הראש שלך בעולם אחר, רוצה יותר גבוה, רוצה להתחבר, רוצה יותר גבוה, רוצה להתחבר, סימן שאתה נוגע בנשמה שלך, נוגע, נוגע בנשמה שלך, זה ולמד ותגלה עד כמה היא יפה, תשיג אותה בחי, מחכה רק בשבילך, נוגע, נוגע בנשמה שלך, נוגע, נוגע בנשמה שלך, זה זה ולמד ותגלה עד כמה יפה להשיג אותה בך היא מחכה רק בשבילך עוללה, עוללה, עוללה עוללה, עוללה שלך נוגע בנשמה שלך זה ולמד ותגלה עד כמה יפה תשיג אותה וחי וחגת בשבילך